live long and prosper. Do you remember? Live long and prosper. It was 50 years ago this past week that Leonard Nimoy's character Spock first presented that blessing on an episode of Star Trek. Years later in his autobiography, he would reveal what he meant by that, recalling a time as a child when his grandfather took him to a synagogue and where he saw the rabbi hold essentially a double form of what became Spock's gesture as a blessing upon the people. It turns out that this has something to do with the Hebrew letter S, or Shin. Shin, which is really three upticks of markings. And Shin, the letter S, with this blessing, is intended to be a calling upon El Shaddai, God Almighty. And Shekinah, God's feminine presence of spirit that pours over all creation. And the thought with the blessing was that the Shekinah of God could pass through your fingers and light upon you the way it lit upon Moses and Elijah and others. And then the third S or Shin was to call upon God's Shalom. Shalom, the peace that pours over all creation as God designed it. Live long and prosper was intended to be a blessing at a time when this nation that was watching Star Trek was in turmoil. It was intended to echo the words Shalom Aloikum and Salam Aleikum, and the words of the peace of Christ be with you that we pick up in our tradition and will share with one another here in a few moments. And in all of it, the open palm is the universal gesture of peace. It's a blessing. But what does it mean to prosper? What does it mean to enjoy prosperity? Sadly, in our modern American tradition, it has been equaled to the accumulation of wealth, that one who prospers is rich, that one who prospers has accumulated material goods, and that misguided proponent of prosperity gospel tracks that same line as well. It's bunk. The prospering is intended to describe human flourishing, that is, the process of living into our truest selves as God created us to be. And when we do that, it is an expression of life that cannot help but evoke joy and give us meaning and purpose in life. Indeed, we speak of enjoying prosperity because it evokes joy. Theologian Matthew Fox contends that to enjoy this prosperity, this true prosperity, we must distinguish between jobs we hold and work, because work is what we were created for. A job may pay the bills. It may even make you a lot of money. But it will not bring about the prosperous sense of joy and meaning in your life unless it translates into work. A job is transactional. You're paid to do a task or to provide a service. Nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but it will not nourish the spirit unless it translates the meaning and purpose onto the job, and that's when it becomes work. We were created to work on behalf of something larger than ourselves. That is deeply seated in our very DNA. We can speak of everything in the universe being about its work also. Planets are releasing their energy in their work. Stars are too. plants and animals are as well. Everything works in the cause of connection that serves to the purpose in the whole. Everything is at work, and humans are no different. It's interesting, though, the notion of unemployment only exists in humans, nowhere else in the universe. It is a human invention, unemployment is, tied to the lack of job, not of work. It's a justice issue, to be sure. The sense of unemployment is incongruent with the design of creation and its inclination toward prosperous joy. And we know this from our earliest days in childhood and then on to retirement. We can speak of the work that brings us joy. We play hard, right? We're about our work of play as children. We work at our hobbies, all of us. We work as volunteers, good work. Meaningful work, that which engages us to something larger than ourselves. We can enjoy the satisfying exhaustion of that physical labor that comes from working in your garden or from climbing a mountain. In the monastic tradition, the charge is given, the invitation is offered to find meaning even in the most drudgery of work detail. Of dishwashing or sweeping or mopping or other menial tasks, the invitation is there. Work becomes the spiritual discipline that helps us unfold into our truest selves. That monastic tradition, ora et labora, we pray and we work, and that's how we learn who we are. But in this gospel reading we just heard read, in this parable that Jesus tells us, some of the laborers couldn't quite see that they had been invited into deeply meaningful work instead of just a job. They were invited into the work of harvesting in the vineyard, proverbially, metaphorically, the work of God's kingdom, or we might say the work of the consummate design of all creation. They just couldn't see their place in that because they saw it as a job, a transaction of money to be exchanged for performing a task. Again, nothing wrong with jobs. They help put food on the table for many of us. But the laborers in this gospel, they were stifled of any potential joy when their envy demanded that their world be built upon a myth of scarcity. That if others were paid the same as them, even while they did less work, then the world wasn't fair and they couldn't stand for it. Now, it might be easy for us to judge those foolish laborers, but we can all go there in a heartbeat. I know I've been known to calculate what a pitcher makes for the Mariners that makes $25 million a year every time he throws a pitch, $32,000. Makes more than I make in months and months. That's not fair. Or back when I practiced as a family doctor and I would call a plumber to come spend an hour working to fix my kitchen sink, and then he would charge me more than what I made as a family doctor for an hour's worth of work. And I think all my professional training, all my education, as I'm writing the check out to that plumber, I'm just sneering about how it's not fair. I hope none of you are plumbers. But here's the truth, my friends. I never felt I was underpaid as a doctor. Not one day, not once. But when I started comparing, it just wasn't fair that he got the same amount that I did. It's so easy for us to go to that dark place of that comparison and competition when it comes to money and the power we give over to it in our lives. But then Jesus comes along and invites us to let go of that green-eyed myth of scarcity. Jesus comes along and invites us to untie that leash that is tethering us to that myth. He invites us to relax our grip into an open-palmed sense of peace and joy and meaning and purpose and prosperity as we become who we're truly created to be. Jesus speaks a lot about money in the Gospels, more than anything else, to be honest, because I think he knows just how much power we can give it in our lives. He speaks of letting go our tight grip on it, to be free, to be free. That's our work. That's the path, I think, to living long and prospering. If by living long we're speaking of eternal life, which is what we are invited by Christ to enjoy right here and right now, as union with the spiritual shalom, the salam, the peace of God that is offered to all of creation, including us. He's inviting us to live long and prosper. If by prospering we're speaking of the flourishing that we experience by virtue of our engagement in that connection to the whole and in our work, and through our work others might flourish as well. That's prospering. I've known people who are dying actively on hospice who are flourishing about their work of dying, because they can find joy in it. I wish that for all of us. We all must earn a living. I hope you're not hearing me say otherwise. But our work is to keep a loose grip on the money and all that it represents for us, because, my friend, you and I are invited to be laborers in the vineyard. I'm mindful that these are troubled times. My heart is weary. I know in speaking with many of you, your hearts are weary too. Storms, devastating storms and earthquakes and people suffering and wars and rumors of wars, and they're just pricking our ears day by day. But then I'm mindful this morning that a half century ago, Leonard Nimoy landed on a blessing. Didn't tell everyone explicitly, but he landed on a blessing because I think somehow he knew in 1967, 1968, this nation was as in as much turmoil then as it is now, maybe more, maybe less, but they were struggling then too. And he says, peace, peace, blessings. We need more blessings in the world as antidotes to the bellicose energies that abound in our time. And friends, if you hear nothing else from me today, hear this. I believe that the church, and specifically this St. Mark's Cathedral community, is primed to lead the way in that blessing. In fact, I would say the church was created for times such as this. This is our time. This is our cause. This is our work. And I believe with all my heart that that is the purpose for the church, is for us to be about the work of blessing. Now, how do we do that? We do that when we engage our work faithfully, individually and collectively. Here we are as we launch into our annual financial commitment appeal once more, to support the work of this community, this church, and all that we do and are in God's name here. Some will call it the annual begathon. Begathon. Will you please just give? But that's transactional, my friends. That's back to job, not work. I believe wholeheartedly that it is our work, yours and mine, to support this community of which we are a part. We support it with our presence, with our participation, with our money. It is our work, not our job, not our duty, not a transaction. And when we are able to see it in that light as our work, in God's name, then we will find it to be deeply meaningful as a source of joy and as an inspiring center of connection to something much larger than ourselves. And I'm asking you this morning and the next several weeks to once more commit yourself with resolve in that regard, and know that I'm recommitting myself as well. I am utterly convinced that we were created to give, to be stewards of the gifts that we have been given, to be shared, not in some transactional quid pro quo that you get in good with the church or you get in good with God, but because in giving we find the connection, in giving we find the meaning, in giving we find the joy, in giving we find the peace. Ultimately, in giving we find the path along which we will rediscover God in our lives in real, present ways. So I pray you, let the envious heart of competition and comparison over money melt away. Drive it away. I pray you, let the gripping fear of scarcity in your life be released, and just enjoy the abundance of God's blessings in your life. I pray you be open to the work that God is inviting you into in these troubled times, because these are our times. This is our time. This is our opportunity. And know that you do not need to engage it alone. We do it as community in this place. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. I am glad you are here. We are the richer for your being here. And my friends, know this. I thank God every day for every one of you. And I bid your prayers for me too. Blessings.